Hey, this is Mike Gallagher. The King's College is accepting enrollments for fall 2022, offering courses in New York City's financial district and online. This historic Christian college builds all of its majors on a robust liberal arts core curriculum centered in the fundamentals of politics, philosophy, and economics. The King's College provides the intellectual foundation students need to become principled leaders and engage the cultural issues of the day. Find out how you can attend the King's College. Visit tkc.edu today. tkc.edu.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 24th day of July, 2022. And tonight we have quite a bit of a message, and I'm going to try to get through the whole thing. The title of the message is Hypocrites Then and Now, Hypocrites Then and Now. And we're going to be taking a look at what is taking place today and compare it with what has taken place in the past. And so when it comes to hypocrisy, I mean hypocrisy is just flourishing today in America. So now, but we're going to start in Leviticus chapter 19. And here we're going to take a look at God's laws, God's perfect laws, and just take a look at how his laws were perfect. And then we're going to take a look later how the Pharisees, with their interpretations and applications of more than 600, they increased what were God's laws to their own traditions and made man-made law, put them on the same scale, same level as God's laws. And then we're going to take a look at that, how that applies with us today. We literally, the EPA literally has thousands of laws. Every time you walk out into your yard and do just about anything, you're violating some of the EPA laws out there, what they could consider or mandates. But anyhow, let's get a start tonight in Leviticus chapter 19. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and saying to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Well, here now, that word fear he's referring to is reverence. That, and he's talking to not the sibling, or not the children, but to the adults. He's talking to the adults here that they reverence their parents. And he says this, turn you not into idols, nor make yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. Well, today we have more idols than we've ever had before, whether they're movie stars, rock stars, basketball players, football players, soccer players, you know, whether they're race car drivers or you have idols out there where people will idolize certain cars or different things. So we have more idols today that they place much more importance and significance on than they do in worshiping God. They don't many give God little or no time at all. but put all their time in these idols that they have. He goes on to say, and if you offer a sacrifice, a peace offering unto the Lord, you shall offer it at your own will. It shall be eaten the same day you offer it, in the morning, and if you ought remain until the third day, it shall be burnt in the fire, and if it be eaten at all on the third day, it is abominable. It shall not be accepted. In other words, one of the things there, you have the dietary laws that God gave. Folks, also in those days, they did not have refrigeration, and meat could spoil, and meat could go bad very quickly. And so this, again, was a part for their health. But it's God's law, God's requirement. And God was very specific. He never stuttered when he was given his requirements. He goes on to say, therefore, everyone that eateth, it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned and hallowed the thing of the Lord, and the soul shall be cut off from among his people. Now, when it says cut off, that means killed. He should be killed. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of the field, neither shall you gather gleanings of the harvest. And thou shalt not glean the vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of the vineyard, and shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Now here, he's going to repeat this. I am the Lord your God. Making it very clear, people understand who is speaking here. Now, we take a look at people like Ruth and Naomi, were two people that benefited from this. They left the corners, and they left some of the vineyard for the hungry, for the poor and the hungry. You shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie to one another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Well, again, well, I'm going to tell you, that really, today out there in our society, the common practice going on in all your major cities today is stealing, lying, cheating, and bearing false witness. And I'm going to tell you, they definitely don't have love for God. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. One of the things that I've always done when I have people that do work for me, I always try to pay them that very day. When they're finished with the work, I pay them that very day. And thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired, and not abide with thee all night until the morning. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor stumbling, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear the Lord thy God. I am the Lord. Well, it's an interesting thing, because often, people will make fun of people that are deaf or blind, and they know that they can't hear, so they carry on a conversation with them, and just to make fun of them. And folks, or they'll do things, put stumbling blocks in front, or maybe do things to the blind can't see, making gestures or whatever, and thinking it's funny, something funny to do that, making a mockery. And that is absolute, those folks that do that are immature, very foolish, and they'll regret it. He goes on to say, you shall, now remember, he keeps saying, for I am the Lord, okay? I am the Lord. You shall fear thy God. In other words, God's going to get you. If you do that to the blind, if you do that to the deaf, God's going to get you. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of the neighbor. I am the Lord. And so here, what is he's saying here? First of all, who is thy neighbor? Remember when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and Jesus was talking about loving thy neighbor, as we're going to get to that, and the Pharisee asked him, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus gave the story about the Good Samaritan. If you ask most people who's your neighbor, they'll tell you the people that live on the right or the left of them, or one side or the other. But that's not what your neighbor is. Okay, the neighbor is as Jesus explained, he that is there for you when you need him, and you're the neighbor that should be there for him. And again, the story of the Good Samaritan is a perfect example of who is thy neighbor. He goes on to say, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt not in any wise rebuke thy neighbor, and not suffering sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And you shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Any farmer or rancher can tell you about that. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. And whoso lieth carnally with a woman that is a bondwoman, betrothed to a husband, and not at all redeemed, nor freedom given her, she shall be scourged. They shall not be put to death because she was not free. In other words, the woman was not free, if she willingly was to lay with a man out of wedlock. Can you imagine people understanding that today? They're clueless. I mean, you've got out there today, you've got hot wives, you've got open marriages, you've got wife swapping, and these college girls out there, if you hear them talking, they find no problem at all sleeping, you know, with 100 men, as long as you do it before you get married. But you see, here's the thing. Who's going to want to marry them? And those marriages that do take place, these open marriages, they don't last very long at all. It goes on to say, and he shall bring the trespass offering unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, even a ram for trespass offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and the ram of the trespasses, the offering before the Lord for his sin, which he hath done, and the sin which he hath done shall be forgiven him. And when you shall come into the land, and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then you shall count the fruit as an uncircumcised. 3 years it shall be as uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten of, but in the fourth year all the fruit thereof shall be holy, and praise the Lord, and withal. And in the fifth year you shall eat of the fruit, wherefore, that it may yield unto you the increase. Therefore, I am the Lord your God. Now, that you get into that if you talk to those that have orchards, they can understand a little bit about that here. You shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall you and there's many, many places in Scripture, where several places, I should say, that is very clear that you don't eat anything with the blood therein, because life is in the blood. Neither shall you use enchantment nor observe times. You shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shall thou mar the corners of thy beard. In other words, he's talking about the appearance of the men, that they don't appear, they don't groom themselves as the heathens do. Neither shall you use enchantments or observe times. You shall not round. Okay. You shall not make any cutting in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Do not prostitute thy daughter or cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom, and the land become full of wickedness. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Regard them not that have familiar spirits, and neither seek after wizards to be defiled of them. I am the Lord your God. Well, it's an interesting thing. Boy, if people understood how that applies today. Here, folks, the word pharma comes from, pharmacy comes from the word pharmakia. That word means wizardry. Pharmakia means wizardry. And he again, he says, regard them not that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. And so here, these so-called vaccines and these drugs and these things that are filled with every kind of poison and death out there today. The Bible refers to the apothecary, as God's natural herbs, God's natural medicines for healing. But here, the pharmakia is wizardry or witchcraft, and we're told to leave it alone. You have more people dying. There's so much death. There's so much death in the pharmacy and the drug area out there in America today. It's just unbelievable how much death is in that. And people like Mr. Fauci, like they're referred to as wizards. And, you know, we call him a mad scientist, as with some of these others, like Bill Gates and others. But they're practicing wizardry is what they're practicing. And so here, he goes on to say, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I am the Lord. That means give respect to the elderly. Give respect to the elderly. And don't do as so many today. So often our elderly are attacked upon the streets of your major cities. They're attacked by cowardly youth, gang members. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, you shall not vex him, but the stranger that dwelleth with you, you be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, and metered in weight or in measure. Well, what he's talking about, metered means length. Measure means quantity is what he's referring to when he says here, or in measure, just balances, just weights, just ephah, and just hin shall you have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord. Now, here, the law was perfect. God gave us the law to give Israel the law to show them just how incapable they were of meeting God's requirements. They were totally incapable of doing that. Not because there was a problem with the law. The law was perfect. It was man. It was man's sin that made him incapable. And the point was to understand that they needed a Savior. They needed what God had required for an offering, a sin offering, to take away their sin, something that because of their unrighteousness, they could never, ever, no, not ever, even begin to do for themselves. And so here now, as we take a look at this, we're going to go over to Matthew chapter 23. And here, we're going to look at, actually, there's eight woes written, but in this is referred to as the seven woes, because two of the woes work together. The seven woes that God gives in this chapter. Now, when we take a look at, we're going to be dealing here, in the previous chapter, we dealt with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, and the Herodians. Now, the Herodians were the legislators of that day. They were half-breed Jews. The Pharisees were, and by the way, the Herodians, again, like I said, they were the legislators of the time. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were the judicial. They were the judges and the lawyers. And the scribes were kind of like what we would call paralegals today. They kept the records, and they would often give advice on legal issues. And so, as we start here in Matthew chapter 23, we're going to take a look at that and look at the hypocrisy. Now, today, the word Pharisee, in fact, means separated ones. And here, we're going to take a look at how the word Pharisee today has become synonymous with the word hypocrite. But the hypocrisy today and how it correlates with what took place. And as we look at, for example, the trial of Jesus, and we compare, now by no means am I placing Donald Trump on the same level as our Lord in any way, shape, or form. But there's a lot of similarities in how they treated Donald Trump, the president of the most powerful country in the world, with the way that our Lord and Savior was treated by a very, very corrupt society. And so we start here now in verse 1 of chapter 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works. Now, for that they say and do not do. And so, in other words, he's saying, listen to what they say, do what they say, but don't do what they do, because they're hypocrites. They lay burdens on you and things that they don't, like our Congress. Our Congress exempts themselves from many of the very same laws that they try to place us under, okay? He goes on to say, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on a man's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. And they make the broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Now here, the problem arose here again with the religious leaders. They took man-made rules as seriously as God's laws. In fact, they had more than 600 laws that had become more important than the law of God itself. They had made their, if you want to call them laws or mandates, that they would, and most of them were not bad. Most of them were good, but the point of it here is, well, let me pick it up. He says this, but all their works they do for to be seen of men, to make broad their phylacteries. Now, a phylactery was a little box that they would wear over their forehead, and they would wear one on each sleeve, the right and the left. And within those little boxes would be Old Testament scripture that they were to hold to, that these scriptures were to be a way of life for them. But what happened was it became more important for men to see them for that they appear and look holy than the scriptures. They weren't really living that. in their phylacteries. As he says here, he says, and they enlarged the borders of their garments, and they loved the uppermost rooms at a feast, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men rabbi. And so here, now he, again, he's talking about these guys were just, they were imposters, they were hypocrites, they were like so many that we have out there today. In fact, the word hypocrite means movie actor, means movie actor. In fact, there are still some places around here in America and some of the cities where they have kept and some of the old theaters and made them museums. And up on those marquees, you would have the words performing hypocrites meaning actors. And, of course, we have the whole, the news media is filled. The fake news media out there is filled with these people, and they call themselves journalists, but they're not. They're fake. They're as fake can get. And here, many of them are nothing more than shock jocks. But they're in there, they're placed in there to spread the propaganda that is put out by the collective. And when President Trump refers to them as fake news media, they're about as fake can get. And he goes on when he says this. He said, to be called of men rabbi, but be not you called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all you are brethren. Well, that word rabbi means teacher. Teacher. He says not to refer to them as a rabbi. Now, it's an interesting thing, because today, in many of the messianic churches out there, many of the messianic churches, the pastors in those churches will refer to themselves as rabbi. Apparently, they haven't been reading this passage of Scripture here. He makes it pretty clear that the pastors had referred to themselves as pastors. He goes on to say, but be you not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and you are all brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth. Now, here is what he is referring to. He's not referring to your daddy, okay, or your heavenly father. He's referring to, in this word, that word there, it means your religious authority. And I'm not talking about your local pastor or your local Bible teacher. I'm talking about your potentate, your one and only religious authority. And, of course, that with us is God. And he says, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. And so he's telling you in that sense, just like even today, it's an interesting thing because the word reverend is used. And, you know, I often tell them not to refer to me as reverend. When I go to, I speak someplace, they always want to refer to you as reverend, because that word is used only one time in all of Scripture, and it's a name for God. And here, in fact, you'll find that it's used one time in the Bible, and that is in the 111th Psalm, verse 9. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. And so the word reverend is a name for God. I'm not reverend. No man is reverend. Okay? And this is where you get the word reverence. Okay? Only God is reverend. Only God. And so you should refer to, you can refer to the pastor as the pastor, as the shepherd. You could call him a presbyter if you want. You can call him a bishop if you want. It's all for the same office. But the word reverend, again, it's used one time in all of the Bible. I just read it to you. 111th Psalm, verse 9. It's a name for God. And there's only one God, folks, and it's not me. And it's not the pastor of your church either. There's only one. And see, you say, well, we know that that's what the Bible says, but we have a custom. You don't do that. I just read you these things right here. It doesn't study or stutter at all. You're not to refer to men as rabbi. You're not to refer to men as father or as reverend. He goes on to say, neither be you called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. One is your master, even Christ. No stuttering. It means exactly what it says. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he shall humble himself and not be exalted. So here, the Pharisees in their interpretation and applications of more than 600 laws, folks, had become more important than the law of God itself. They took man-made rules and mandates as seriously as God's laws. Jesus told the disciples and the multitude to obey what they say, but not what they do. Because when they were telling you, basically what they would say is they would give you the laws of what I just read to you, the laws out of Leviticus or the Ten Commandments and that. But not to do as they do because they were hypocrites. Again, today the word Pharisee has become synonymous with the word hypocrite. Today, the hypocrites try and force the thousands and thousands of mandates on us. And again, like I was telling you, you've got so many different laws and regulations. Today, I mean, it's impossible almost today to live your life And in fact, by being in compliance with many of the mandates or laws out there that they have given you, you're in violation of others. There's thousands of the EPA alone, and forget the FDA, the EPA, and the CDC. They have all of these so-called laws or mandates that they have, folks out there, again, as we just read here, they try to lay a heavy burden on you that they don't comply. In fact, if we take a look at this, especially, there's mandates, that there's words. They say there's words that we can't say today. They change the words. They try to change the meaning. Now, they say, well, now, you can't use that today. And if you refer to someone as a gender, if they tell you, if some boy tells you that he's a girl today, according to the politically correct, absolute insane palaver of the Democratic Communist Collective Party, if a boy tells you he's a girl today and you refer to him as him, he could actually sue you. And these corrupted courts, you could lose. Folks, it's insanity. In fact, if you could do this, if you offend a nursing mother, I remember, folks, when I was growing up, only women had babies, and only women nursed their babies. Well, today, they're not called nursing mothers anymore. They're called chest feeders by the fools, by the absolute fools, folks. And they're telling you by referring to a nursing mother that's offensive to a man, okay? Well, I know this is deep for a Democrat. This is very, very deep. But men don't nurse babies. Men don't have babies, and men don't nurse babies. And real men don't have breasts. They have to go out and get injections and things and try to grow them. These are fools. These are absolute fools that do these things. Now, that's what God's Word, the Bible, says. So their argument's not with preachers like me. Their argument's with God. Guess what? No one has ever, ever won an argument with God, and nobody ever will. And it takes a fool to even try. And these people, this so-called political correctness, these people that don't know what a woman is. Well, folks, anyone with any common sense, if they don't know what a woman is, they're fools. They're absolute. They're lunatics. Right? Now think about this. Think about, you're listening to me out there, when you were in second grade and someone asked you to point out a woman, you could do it. Today, you know, everybody in our church, I ask the people in our church, if you see a woman, point her out. And every single person, even the children in our church, knew what a woman was. They could point out every single woman. But Democrats can't do that. They're not sure what a woman is. And now, in the AMA, the Medical Association is wondering why it's losing such credibility. People don't trust them anymore because those fools actually said that they're not going to refer to use the word male or female on birth certificates because they're not sure what a gender is. God only made two. I know that that's not the popular belief out there, but folks, the reality is God only made two genders, male and female. And so here now, I want to go to verse 13, where Jesus condemns, he goes to the seven woes here. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. Well, see, here, not letting others into the kingdom of heaven and not entering in themselves was the reason for their woe. And let me tell you something, folks. Getting a woe from God is not a good thing, especially if you get three or more. He goes on to say here, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you deliver widows' houses, and for a penance make long in prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Now, it's an interesting thing. The word damnation has a stronger contention on it than the word condemnation. It's got a stronger meaning. He goes on to say, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Blindly leading God's people, he's telling them, the woe comes for blindly leading God's people to follow man-made traditions instead of God's word. And that's exactly what you would call a liberal does today, an unsaved person, or the apostate church. The apostate church does that. They take people away from, they won't call sin sin. In fact, they embrace everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls an abominable sin, whether it's abortion, whether it's sodomy, whether it's pedophilia. The apostate church embraces these things. They become satanic. They become, in fact, many of the United Church of the Antichrist and what they call Pilgrim Church and many of these others have literally become so apostate, they have literally become satanic churches. He goes on to say, woe unto you, blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. You fools and blind, For whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gift upon it, he is guilty. You fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift of the altar or that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it, and by all things thereupon. And those who swear by the temple sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. And that shall swear by the heaven sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth on the throne. Well, here, Jesus mentioned these seven ways to guarantee. These are seven ways to guarantee God's anger, often called the seven woes. And here, he's talking about they forget. If you go on here and read in the next verse, they're talking about involving how they involved themselves in insignificant details, and they were ignoring the really important things. As the Lord Jesus said, the important things was justice and mercy and faith. And so they go ahead, and he says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay the tithe of the mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done, and do not leave the others undone. You blind guides would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." Well, it's an interesting thing, because the Pharisees would actually strain their water. They would actually put their water through strainers because there were so many gnats. Gnats were so commonplace, and that was considered an unclean thing, and they couldn't have an unclean thing. And so they would actually strain their water before they would drink it. "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, and but within they are full of extortion and excess. The blind Pharisee cleanses first that which is within the cup, and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." So he's talking here about, literally he's talking about, it's a spiritual cover-up. It's a spiritual cover-up of their sin. And here, as he goes on to say, the last one, he goes on to say, "Well, woe unto you, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like a whited sepulchre, which indeed appeareth beautiful outward, but within are full of dead man's bones, of all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous, but unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees," and this is the last one, "hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of the fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore," now listen to that, they're telling, we would have never done that. We would have never been a part of that. And he goes on to say, "And wise men and scribes, and some of them you should kill. Wherefore, behold, I send you prophets." Well, let me go back. I missed one. "Wherefore, you be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up now the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Therefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city." He's talking about the early church martyrs, the early church fathers, and even as the Apostle Paul stood and held the garments of those that stoned Stephen, he goes on to say that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from behold, from the blood of the righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barachias. Now, if you go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 24, I believe it's verses 20 and 21, you see that Zacharias was the son of Barachias, and he was a righteous man, and the religious leaders killed him. They murdered him. whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Well, here, I wanted to just take a look at some of the things here, the mandates today, that they talk about the words. Here, the hypocrisy. They force the kill shots that they call vaccines. They're not vaccines, on our military. When the White House, the White House staff is exempt. They don't have to take, the whole White House staff is exempt from the kill shots. The CDC employees are exempt from the kill shots. It's right on their website. So many of Big Pharma are exempt from the kill shots. Pfizer, right on Pfizer's website. In fact, the president of Pfizer had said he didn't need the shot. But they're forcing 60,000 of our military, 60,000 of our young men to take the kill shot. Now here, in fact, Secretary of Defense Austin himself was exempted from taking the kill shot. But he was pushing and forcing, along with Biden and the others, that upon the soldiers. Now, they say they want the brightest and the best. Believe me, folks, the brightest and the best are those that refuse to take the kill shots. When you take a look at how here, Governor Newsom, Obama, AOC, the squad, Governor Cuomo, all of them, remember their mandates that they tried to force on people? Remember how Governor Newsom was caught giving that big dinner party? Nobody wore masks. Nobody was social distancing. Total violation of what he was forcing on other people. And the same thing when Obama, at their mansion, when they had all of those people come out and they were partying, had no masks. Remember Nancy Pelosi, how she got caught going to the hairdresser. She wasn't, remember, you weren't supposed to get out. You were supposed to be quarantined, stayed at home. But she was out running around without her mask on. So they push these mandates on others, but they exempt themselves. This is hypocrisy. It's the worst kind. By the way, did you ever notice something that all of these people that are in so in favor of abortion, they've already been born. Every one of these that are so in favor of abortion. By the way, the same thing. Those that want to kill the elderly in the nursing homes, they just want to kill them off. Euthanasia, those that want to promote euthanasia, legalize it. None of them ever really want to lead by example, do they? The hypocrisy is stifling. They push their immoral depravity on the children that are forced to attend the public schools. And all of those in the Congress and the Senate, all of those people, Hollywood, all of those so-called elite, all of them either send their children to private schools or many of them are homeschooled. None of them. You won't find any that send their own children to public schools. Now, I remember, and by the way, the one profession more than any other that sends their children to private schools or homeschools or public school educators, public school teachers, they will tell you from their lips to your ears, now we want something better for our children. We don't want them to get the pornography. We don't want them to get what's being forced upon your other children. And parents, for 50 years I've been telling you, if you love your children, get them out of the public school system. They've become nothing but indoctrination centers for cultural Marxism. And pornography and every kind of perversion and depravity you can imagine, they're pushing on the children in the public school system. And it's insanity. Look out there in Seattle and in the state of Washington where you have putting Tampax machines or Tampax dispensers in the boys' bathrooms. This is insanity. And the Democrats have become totally reprobate and depraved. They're depraved, I'm telling you. And so here, well, another very good example would be little Marky Zuckerberg. Now, last week we played you a recording of Marky Zuckerberg. Apparently he didn't know he was being recorded as he was speaking to his own staff. And what was he telling his staff? I don't recommend getting that vax. I don't recommend getting that. It's an experimental, and I don't trust it, and I think it's dangerous. He's telling them not to get the vax, but at the same time, anyone who was speaking out on Facebook, telling you the truth, anyone who was telling the truth about the vax, which is not a vax at all, a bioweapon, well, they got banned from Facebook. They got taken down. We got taken down off YouTube. It took them 15 seconds to deny me on Twitter. 15 seconds. And here, so, and by the way, remember he spent $400 million. $400 million. Okay. In election fraud money to throw the election. Even though he spent that $400 million here to throw the with fraud, with all of the things that that he gave to the corrupt and the Democratic Communist Party. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. Joe Biden is not a legitimate president of the United States. He is not. He's a usurper. President Donald Trump is still the legitimate president of the United States. And anyone and everyone that says that's not true, they're lying. And you won't find one of those cowardly at NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, or Fox News that would be willing to come on this radio program and sit across from me and debate me on that. You won't find them because they're liars. And when President Trump says they're liars, he's absolutely right. Now, here, you've got the woke corporate CEOs that are willing to give. And by the way, we're boycotting Giant Eagle and Kroger. We're boycotting Giant, and we're asking you folks to boycott them because they're willing to give their female employees $4,000 to kill their babies, to go and kill their babies. But in their hypocrisy, they're not giving their female employees a dime to give birth, to bring life into the world, or to raise the children. And for that reason, we're boycotting, and I mean all good and decent people will boycott Kroger and Giant Eagle. If they think they're so big they don't need your business, don't give them your business. Don't give it to them. See how quickly that'll change. Now, there's a lot of comparisons, a lot between the trial, the unlawful trial of the Lord Jesus Christ and the unlawful trial of Donald Trump. By the way, I am in no way means or even trying to place Donald Trump on the same level as the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just saying there's a lot of similarities in their trials. They were both unlawful trials. They both only had a prosecution without a defense. This so-called January 6th committee. Again, there is illegitimate, they're as crooked as illegitimate and crooked gets. A better name for that is the Liars Club. Folks, let me ask you, what do you have? The Lord Jesus had no defense, only a prosecution. Donald Trump had no defense, only a prosecution. All of those patriotic Americans that are being persecuted by that Antichrist communist regime in D.C. called the Committee have no defense, only persecution. Now here, both, remember, it was just a couple of weeks ago that the so-called chairperson of that committee said, we don't have any evidence, we don't have enough evidence to convict Donald Trump, or to indict Donald Trump. We don't have enough evidence. They don't. Remember, Russia, 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 false, phony. And just as here, as Pontius Pilate said about our Lord Jesus, I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in this innocent man. And with the Lord, they cried, crucify, crucify. With Donald Trump, they're crying out there, impeach, impeach, impeach. And again, here, remember, from the inside, you had traitors. Our Lord Jesus was betrayed by Judas from within. Donald Trump was betrayed by Mike Pence and many others. That abomination had spent all 8 years placing these swamp creatures, these corrupt people, these prostitutes in strategic places for this very time. So in case we got a good person in the White House, they could betray him from within. And so here, and the very same thing could be said today for many, many of the very good people out there that have been, well, in the military, especially in the military and that, they've been betrayed by their country. Those soldiers that were forced to retire because of their honor and their integrity and their decency. Well, we're out of time for tonight. I hope you enjoyed the message. We took a look at here and we compared, again, the hypocrites of old to those of today. Now, when it gets down to it, folks, the one thing that can chase away the lies, and we're living in, God's Word, the Bible doesn't stutter. It makes it very, very clear. The days of sorrow, we're there today, and gives you a clear timeline. And so, again, the time will come for every single person that's alive today when the only thing will matter to them, the only thing, nothing else, but the only thing is their standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're either saved or they're lost, and that's the reality, folks. And they're going to die. Every single person you know out there is going to die. And when that happens, God has said, it's appointed to all men once to die, and then the judgment. They're either going to end up in heaven or hell. You can believe whatever you want, but reality is, as he that created the universe, he that sustains us, he that keeps the universe and everything running like clockwork, the Creator, God himself, has said. And so if I were you out there tonight and you have not made that decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, you are on borrowed time. I would, if I were you, I would do it tonight. I would pray to the Father, ask forgiveness of your sins, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus to be Lord of your life. And if you'll do that, God will honor that commitment. You'll become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and it doesn't get any better. That's the most important thing you'll ever do. Until tomorrow, we want to say good night, God bless, and always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.